Good morning. Welcome to Zion. We welcome our visitors this morning. We hope that you will be blessed by our time together, and I'm looking forward to a message on encouraging one another, building up the body of Christ today. If you have an announcement, I'm going to invite you to come forward at this time.
This evening, I have responsibilities at Hope Village, the Marquis Center, for Vesper service. I didn't get that into the bulletin or the announcements, but I'd like you to know about that. And any of you who wish are certainly welcome to come join and worship with our friends there at Hope Village, Marquis Center, at 6:15 this evening.
Any of the prime-timers that want to go to the Gingrich Farms tour on the 30th, please sign up today. Vern has asked me to let him know this week how many are coming, and I said I would do that. So we really need you to sign up today. Thank you.
My name is Bob Buxman. FYI, tonight at 5:30 at Salem Mennonite Church, Jack Knox, who was the pastor there, but presently lives in Douglas, Arizona, will be sharing for about an hour on border issues. So you're very welcome to be at that meeting. And in these days that we're collecting kits for MCC for Tucson area, Jack is a good complimentary information man, does a wonderful job living on the border, working with border issues. So that's at 5:30 at Salem Mennonite Church.
There's been an announcement in the bulletin, I think the last couple of weeks, about breakfast coffee time, that we need some more volunteers to make that happen. So I'm just encouraging you, since we're having a message on encouraging each other, that if that's something that you would like to do, we would really like your help. You know, you sign up for one time a month. It's really not hard, and it's a great way to serve your church family. Thanks.
So next Sunday, instead of being in here, we will be outside under the tent as VBS starts next Sunday night. And I'm really looking forward to it. For some reason this year, it seems to have been, I dare say it, a little bit easier to get volunteers. In the last few years, we've worked hard at streamlining and making sure that we can continue to offer VBS with a few less volunteers. So it's been a little bit easier. However, we're still in need of a few group leaders. There are some people who can only do like 3 days. And so if you think, well, I can do 2 days of being a group leader, that would be wonderful. And it's really fun because it's very little prep. You know, you show up, you're with the kids, you help them with their memory work, and then you get to go around and do things with them. So it's not like you have to prepare something ahead of time. You just have to show up with joy and be willing to just have fun with these kids and encourage them. So even if you can only do a couple days, please let myself or Mary know, because we have other people who can only do a couple days. And if we put you together, then we can have the whole week completely finished. I also need 3 strangers for my drama on Thursday night. Now, you don't have to be strangers to me, but you have to play 3 strangers in the drama. And it's one night. I need 3 strangers. So if you're feeling a little strange and you want to fill that role, I would love to have that in our drama. I'm really looking forward to our drama because this year, instead of it being all young people, which I really appreciate, and we've had young people in the past, it's more of the mature generation of our church that's going to represent, because our drama and our whole week is about Sarah and Abraham, and it's called God's Nomads, Stars, and Promises. And so it should be a really wonderful, fun week. After our service next week, out under the tent, we're going to have a potluck like we have had in the past. And so the Tableware will be provided, so just please bring something for the potluck. If you are registering kids for VBS, the registration cards are in the back, so feel free to take one. My son is telling me to hurry up. I've spent too much time up here talking. Anything else I'm missing, Mary, about VBS? Just thank you all who have helped out, and please, snacks. See? Harrison, don't rush me. Snacks. There's snack sign-ups up there, and I think there's only a few people signed up. So if you think, well, I can't really be here that week, but I'd like to support VBS, we need things like grapes and goldfish and things like that. So please sign up, and you can bring them next Sunday so that we have enough snacks for VBS. Anything else, Mary? Harrison, anything else? You ready to sing? Thank you.
For our call to worship, I want to share a little bit of thoughts out of this little book called Why We Worship. This is a wonderful little treasure that Matthew introduced to our worship commission that we are right now reading together. And I want to have you ponder some questions. Don't we all think about that universal question? Who am I? Really? Who am I? How did I become what I am? I'm tied to my family, but why am I tied to them? And then the question of, why do I go to church? Church is a place where the basic and final questions of life have been raised and dealt with, not avoided or forgotten. Where did I come from? Where am I headed? The billions of people who have lived before me are part of me, and I am a part of them. And this whole earth, with its living and intricate things and forces, the universe of planets and stars, all this is a part of me, and I am of it. Does it have any meaning and purpose? I go to church because of what I hear there. I hear old words, which do not seem old or worn out at all. They speak to me more personally than words I hear on TV, internet, or even in the papers. They speak to me at a deeper level than advertising or entertainment. Because those ancient people of the Bible looked at life and death and right and wrong with some really common sense. To them, God was God. They talked about Him. They talked to Him with boldness that seems a little arrogant to our minds. Their words speak to deep places in me, dark places, and places of secret joy where no one else can go. I know I'm worth something. I call it myself. And those ancient people call it my soul. My soul is worth something. The ancients, without hesitation, said, O Lord God, at this place we worship you. Something out there has searched me and known me. These are beautiful words, words of life. And God is telling me who I am when I'm with you. Let's hear God's voice today with Psalm 19. Please follow along as I read. The heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of His craftsmanship. Day and night, they keep on telling about God. Without a sound or word, silent in the skies, their message reaches out to all the world. The sun lives in the heavens where God placed it and moves out across the skies as radiant as a bridegroom going to his wedding, or as joyous as an athlete looking forward to a race. The sun crosses the heavens from end to end, and nothing can hide from its heat. God's laws are perfect. They protect us. They make us wise. They give us joy and light. God's laws are pure, eternal, and just. They are more desirable than gold. They are sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. For they warn us away from harm and give success to those who obey them. But how can I ever know what sins are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults and keep me from deliberate wrongs. Help me to stop doing them. Only then can I be free of guilt and innocent of some great crime. Let's pray. Lord, we come this morning as your people, and we ask that your Spirit would be moving among us, speaking your words of life, your words of joy, your words of truth to us this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's sing together.
If you all would turn to number 1 in the blue book.
And stand. We don't sit when we sing this song.
What is this place where we are meeting? Only your house, the earth is floor, walls and a roof, sheltering people, windows for light and open door. Yet it becomes a body that lives when we are.
And now, if you would turn to number 307, will you let me be your servant? We'll do verses 1, 3, 4, and then 6. All right, we're going to switch it up. If you could take out the green book. We will be doing number 87, Put Peace into Each Other's Hands. Also, we will be doing verses 1, 3, and 5. Sorry, 1, 2, and 5. Thank you. You may be seated.
Would the ushers come forward, please, to begin this part of our worship as well, the sharing of tithes, gifts, and offerings. And please join me in a spirit of prayer as I consecrate the gifts and the givers with prayer. Let's pray. Lord, what we are about to do, you do not need. You, Lord, could do it all. You could mystically, magically, secretly provide all the resources and means and gifts for the advancement of your kingdom in this world and for the advancement of your honor and glory in this world. And indeed, Lord, all the gifts, all the powers for your purpose in this world are indeed yours. And yet in your mercy, in your goodness, in great risk and cost, you have entrusted some of this to our hands, which we return to you now, and by which we participate in the very answer to our prayer, that your kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. So bless the gifts and the givers and this act of worship in giving and in receiving even this opportunity to participate in your work, in your will in this world. This we pray in the name of him who, though he was rich, became poor for our sakes. Amen.
Children come forward.
The more we get together, the more we get together, the happier we'll be.
Because
your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. The more we get together, the happier we'll be.
Come on, tell the story.
Good morning, everyone. I got a question for you. It's a pretty easy one. I think you'll like it. What is your favorite breakfast cereal? What is Cheerios' favorite breakfast cereal?
Granola.
Granola. Oh, you guys are healthy eaters. Well, you know what my favorite cereal was as a kid? It wasn't granola. This was my favorite breakfast cereal. Have any of you had Lucky Charms? Oh, man, today's the day. Today is your lucky day. Now, why do you think I would like this cereal so much? What's on the picture?
Oh,
ding, ding, ding. Marshmallows are in there. And there's a unicorn on the box because it has treats in it. Okay, well, you know, I didn't care so much about the treats. I just loved all the marshmallows. Oh, sweet. So good. So what do your parents say when they know that you've had too much sugar? What do they say to you?
No more sugar.
No more sugar. Why? Okay, but what does sugar do when you eat it?
I
You might get sick with too much sugar. Sugar's yummy. It makes you be crazy. Sugar makes you be crazy. Have mom and dad said that before? Like, you get a little bit worked up. You get a little bit too energetic with sugar, especially cereal with sugar. So I'm going to just ask adults to do a little shout out. What was your favorite cereal as a kid? Captain Crunch, Life. So I asked Craig, my hubby, this, and he said, Jana, we had to have rolled oats every morning. It was not my favorite cereal. We had no choice. He had to eat rolled oats. Well, in the Bible this morning, I read some words about sweetness, that words can be sweet to us, that God gives us, that they can be like honey dripping from a honeycomb. Is honey sweet? Yeah. Honey's very sweet. And those words can build us up. They can encourage us. They can make us feel like God loves us. So I want you to think about sweetness. Would you show my next slide? I love this because there's the Bible. And those little bees and honey, they're dripping. They're dripping off of the words that God gives us that are life. And those words help us to be kind and compassionate. And Jesus' words show us how to do that. Words that are pleasing, words that build each other up, that say good things to each other. We want them to drip like honey from our mouths. So today, you're going to get to go back to your seats with a little more sugar. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, grandparents, that I caused this today, but you're going to get to go back with some Lucky Charms. So you tell me, after you eat these, they're really good with milk too, though. I want to know if you like them. You've had it before.
I had them at Wendy's house.
Thank you. You can go back to your seats. Would William and his parents please come forward? Rachel and Oliver and grandmother Kimberly is here. Please come up and join us.
Hi there. Hello. Hi, William. Yeah, there's okay, yeah. Thanks. All right. Okay, and what's William's middle name?
Daniel.
Okay. Would you hold a second? Let me carry him around a little bit.
Yeah.
Hi, William. I'm just going to borrow your son for a moment here. Hi, William. I want you to look at the people out here. These are part of your family here, okay? Your family of faith. There's Sunday school teachers out here, yeah. And there's Vacation Bible School teachers out here. And other people here who love you and will pray for you and who are going to make a pretty important promise about supporting you and your parents as you grow up as a into an adult in your body, but also in your soul and your spirit. You know, when I get the privilege of looking and holding and carrying around someone of this age, I see a member of the church, of the church community. Yes, we are a faith tradition that will let William, Daniel, and everyone else make their own decision in their own time at God's leading for discipleship and for faith. But that doesn't mean that William Daniel here is not a part of our congregation already. So I want you to, all of us, to see him as he might be seeing you right now, as part of the family. Also, when I look at someone like him, his age, your age, yeah, hi Daniel, I see someone on the same journey that we are, each of us in, a journey of growth, of becoming. If we are 20 years of age or 50 years of age or 90 years of age or other, then yes, we have those years ahead of him in the journey. But in some ways, we are growing back towards William. Hopefully in innocence and in wide-eyed wonder, right on cue here, as looking at the world, seeing it afresh and new, and I hope, gee, William, I become more like that too in my growth in Christ as well. So since we are not a tradition that does child baptisms, but rather child dedications, committing ourselves with the parents and the family and the whole church to William's growth and each other's, that's why we're doing this child dedication. So I'd like to begin with a prayer, and would you join me, a prayer of blessing for Daniel, William Daniel, and all his family and his parents and us. Let's pray. Lord, this is who we are in your sight, your beloved children, each one unique, each one with a unique gifting and calling, each one of us loved as much as if we were the only person whom you had ever created. And Lord, this is also someone like us, growing in grace and spirit and in body. And so we pray, O Lord, for your blessing upon William Daniel, that he might grow in body, soul, and spirit, in strength, in life, in joy, in health, and holiness before you. And we pray for his parents, Oliver and Rachel, to whom you have lent William Daniel for a time, that they may grow to love even more as you love us, but also to know and understand that this is your child, lent to us for just a short time to love and to serve, and that you, Lord, are the parent we could never be. And Lord, we also pray for us as a family of faith, that we would be a safe place, a loving group, a people who share the responsibility of growing in Christ together. This we pray in the name of him who came to us as an infant when the Word became flesh. Amen.
We have a few questions to ask Rachel and Oliver. Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring Oliver up in the nurture and teaching of the Lord, preparing him to come to an open confession of Christ? And to the congregation, I have a question for you. Do you accept responsibility for the well-being of this child? Will you, by prayer, example, and words, support his parents in nurturing William to respond to the grace and truth that are in Christ?
We will.
And we want to respond with a congregational response at this time. Together? You have offered your child to the strong and tender providence of God. We rejoice with you and give thanks for the gift of your child. We promise with humility and seriousness to share in your child's nurture and well-being.
We will support by our example and words your efforts to provide a loving and caring home, where trust in God grows and Christ lays his chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. May our shared life and witness help make your task
May God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you. I want to say a few words to my homies first. When I say homies, I mean men and women of Zion. 15 years ago, would I have pictured myself up here sharing a message? No. When I candidated for youth pastor, I made that clear at Zion that I don't preach. That's just totally, wow. Out there, something I couldn't do. So I want to say to you, thank you for giving me space to develop my gifts here. Thank you for affirming me to try new things. It's actually kind of exciting to do now, though I don't get a lot of sleep the night before. I wouldn't want to do it every week, so it really makes you appreciate those that are preaching weekly on top of other pastoral duties. So thank you for that. Let's pray. Lord, we want to draw from your Spirit, and we want to learn how we can be better together. So I ask that you grant us the courage to care and be cared for. Thank you for this community. Thank you that we have each other on this journey of life as we learn what it means to follow Jesus. Amen. So the wonderful Apostle Paul has given us so many passages about taking care of each other. And I'm going to ask you to do a little exercise with me to begin with this. I want to look at some scripture, and I want you to see on those passages the words one another or each other. So can we pull the slide up? And I want you to think about the verbs that are with these passages. What is the verb? And I'm going to just ask you to shout those out in a minute, okay? What are the action words that come with these scriptures? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the action words you see? Encourage. Build up. Love. Carry. Let's go to the next slide. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. What are those verbs, action words? Be. Be what? Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Be forgiving. The words one another and each other are used more than 50 times in the New Testament. And thank goodness for Paul. He was in prison when he was writing some of these letters, and he still had a positive attitude. He was still encouraging new churches. The words one another and each other are interdependent. We are made in God's image. He created us to need one another. And so it simply doesn't say bear others' burdens or love others. The one another or each other phrase gives them a mutual meaning. Carry each other's burdens. I will bear your burdens and you will bear mine. So in this way, an openness to Christian caring is not just being willing to care for and help others. It's also to be willing to be cared for and be helped by others. I think it's more difficult for us in the Mennonite world, or for me anyway, it's easy for me to do things for others, but it's hard for me to let others do things for me. Here's an example. When our boys were middle school age, my husband had some surgery, and our church brought some food over. And my boys said, "Do we have to pay for this food?" And they had never experienced that before until that moment that our church reached out to us with a meal. And that was a way that we could say to them, hey, you know, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We have a church family that loves and cares for us and will provide things that we need. I want to talk a little bit today about our Stephen ministry that will be starting this fall. This is something new at Zion. This is one of the goals that I'm focused on in my ministry here. And that training will begin in September. So some of you have heard about this and attended an information meeting that I've had. I will be putting out more awareness now through the month of August again. So thank you to those that are interested. I'm looking forward to starting this Stephen ministry, but today I'm reminding you again of what it is. Pastors cannot provide all of the care in ministry. Think of a pastor like a firefighter. When a crisis happens, they rush to the scene to be there and offer support. Shortly after that fire, another one breaks out, and they rush to that scene, and they're providing the first care that they can give to a family, to a crisis situation. This they do on top of a lot of other pastoral duties, meetings, teaching, preaching, visioning. Well, this is where Stephen ministers can come in. The pastors will always be the firefighters and the first responders, but our Stephen ministry people come in after a crisis and help those to sort out what has happened and rebuild. Stephen's ministry gives care as long as it's needed, and it's one-to-one ministry. It may be 1 month. It may be 2 months. It may be 6 months. It may be a year. Stephen ministers provide the steady, consistent, one-to-one follow-up care that pastors want to do but simply cannot cover with everyone in the congregation. Stephen's ministry is a wonderful place for you to use your spiritual gifts. So I want you to think about this training. It is 50 hours of training, which sounds really overwhelming, but I promise you I will make it fun. I will streamline. We're going to have a retreat at the beginning. We're going to have a retreat at the end. So it prepares you to walk with people. It helps you learn to be a good listener, how to have confidentiality with this person, how to pray for this person, how to maybe give them resources that they need. And let's look at our vision statement. It fits with our vision statement. Read it with me. Zion Mennonite Church covenants to grow together as a Christ-centered community, extending our Anabaptist branch into our world, bearing the lasting fruit of discipleship, and planting the seed for God's reign through hospitality, service, and reconciliation with God and others. Stephen's ministry was founded by a pastor who realized that he could not meet all of the needs for care by himself, and he needed a way to keep people from slipping through the cracks. Stephen ministry gives pastors a way to make sure people get the care that they need. One person who has interest in this ministry came to me and said, "People gravitate toward me at work, and they share deep problems they're going through with me, and I don't feel equipped to know how to help them, to know how to listen and walk beside them." And hopefully Stephen Ministries will offer this kind of training. Stephen Ministry congregations are like having a great safety net beneath you. Even if you never use it, it is comforting for you to know that that safety net is there to catch you in the event that you should lose your balance. And the church benefits because more people will experience Christ's love in an authentic way. Stephen Ministry will help to improve your own caregiving skills. It would really be my hope that every adult in this congregation could at some point take the training, because it's going to help you outside of just church. It's going to help you in all relationships. It belongs to every member of this church. Can we show the slide? The next slide. When someone is going through a rough time, just sit with them. No preaching, no advice. Just be there. There's something about the power of presence with others, and it isn't to judge. It isn't to give advice. It's not to preach. It's to be there and be a good listener and know ways of praying and supporting that person. I truly believe, and it's my prayer, that this will make us a gentler people, a kinder people. Doesn't our world really need that right now? And it's going to help us to grow too. When we give of ourselves and our gifts to others, God gives back and He blesses us. Just as we have said to baby William this morning, let's keep doing this kind of care for each other through all stages of our life. God knows what the world needs from your life. Let's love better. Let's bless each other better. Because you know what? Blessings are not to be held tightly. And we're going to be talking about Abraham's blessings in Bible school this week. They are to be shared in a spirit of joy, gratitude, and love. As God followers, we leak onto others the blessings that we have received from God, pouring them all over the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the sick, the prisoner, the widow, the grieving. We too, in God's eyes, are beautiful. And I want to just say this prayer that was for William this morning, for us. I want you to hear it for you. You are God's beloved child. Gracious God, like a father who nurtures his children, you have cared for us. Like a mother, you have called us by name and claimed us as your own. You have loved us into being. You have placed us in human families and blessed us on our journey. Give us your word of truth and justice and mercy so that we can be lifelines of hope to a world that is struggling in fear and despair. Be a Stephen minister. Be a lifeline to those in our congregation and in our community. That can be a beautiful witness and outreach to our community. We are children of your light, Jesus, and we follow you. We're going to sing an oldie but a goodie, and you know the tune, so sing with me.
We will walk with each other.
I have an exercise that I want to ask of us for the next 6 weeks. And I call it, I see you. I see you. Intimate care unleashed. And I'm going to have cards at different places in the sanctuary or in the church building that for the next 6 weeks, will you take a card and write a note of encouragement to someone? And someone may just pass you on a Sunday morning and say, how are you? And they take the time to visit. And that meant a lot to you. That spoke to you. I think we take a lot for granted in what happens here on Sunday morning and behind the scenes. And I want us to just love well, love each other well for the next 6 weeks. So I'm going to give you an example. I wrote a note to Joe Parker today. And he sits up in the sound booth every week when it's his schedule, when he's on the schedule. And he makes sure that our microphones are working, that our technical things are ready to go. And I don't feel like I thank him enough. He's there, he's faithful, he's making things happen, and I take it for granted. So I'm going to read you his card. Joe, you're going to get a card from me. Dear Joe, thank you for being a part of my church family. Thank you for serving as one of Zion's sound techs faithfully throughout the year. I appreciate you. So this is the kind of thing I want us to do. It's a small thing, but I feel like we need a lot of encouragement right now. We're going through some transitions. We're going through some change. We've got our structure revamped, and we're trying to follow that. And we're doing a lot of hard work, but, man, I need to tell you I love you more. So give me just a minute to show you my little table where you can get a card. And you guys, I can get cards, hundreds of them, at the dollar store. So take as many as you want, and I will keep resupplying them, okay? So hang on just a minute. Like candies. We're going to be sweet to each other. And it's going to say, I see you cards. I see you. I see you. And I care about you. And I want to encourage you. And I want to affirm you. And I want to thank you for showing up here with me on Sunday, for being a part of my church family. So remember this. We're going to do it for 6 weeks. And I'll keep reminding you as you come in, and you'll see where the cards are. Amen.
We've had a response song already as part of the message. And Jan, I just want to say just how heartfelt and inspiring and comforting that was for me. As you said, it's a rough time, not only, I mean, it's everywhere for everyone. And so thank you very much. And I'm very grateful that Jana is giving the attention and the energy and the leadership towards developing Stephen ministry in our congregational life. Let's take some time, too, for any responses or sharing or testimonies or concerns that you might want to bring to our attention as well for our prayers today and this week. If you have any such, please raise your hand. Yes, here we go. Megan. Yes. Hi.
Hi, this is Megan Gomez, and I just want to start by thanking you guys all for welcoming us every time we come back. Thank you for all the delicious meals and the visits after Benji was born, and thank you that I know you'll remember us as we go. This is probably going to be our last Sunday before we leave. We leave on the 3rd. So just thank you for everything, and thank you for remembering us, even though we come and go and nobody can keep track of it all. But we're going back to the same place. Raul's going to have a different job. It's going to be a little more flexible. Hopefully he'll work normal hours, not be on call 24 hours a day. And we're going to be able to come back to the U.S. more, be with family. So we're hoping it'll be a bit more balanced for us. But thank you.
I wonder if we could take a time to pray for you now, a prayer of blessing and commissioning. And I'll invite anybody who wants to come join me back here with Megan and Raul and their delightful children here. And I'd just like to offer a prayer of blessing and commissioning for you all. You didn't think you were going to get out of here that easy, did you? Please join me in prayer. Thank you for our friends and our partners and this part of our congregation that is serving in Honduras with our little brothers. Thank you for bringing them here with us for this time. Thank you for your call on their lives as well. And we pray, O God, that as you've brought them back here and have brought them through challenges and opportunities, through delights and difficulties, that you would also go forward with them. Lord, up to this point you have indeed helped and carried them. Now carry them forward, O God, on the next step of their journey, of their service and ministry. Bless the labors that they will be doing for our little brothers. Bless as well their family life. Protect them in body, soul, and spirit, O Lord, to protect their health, as well as simply, O Lord, their love for you and yours for them. And keep us connected, even across the miles and the distances, that we would know a unity together of spirit through prayer, through correspondence, and, O Lord, just simply the sharing of your kingdom. And for all those who they're going to touch, we pray as well that their ministry would indeed bring life and light and joy to others. This we pray in the name of Christ, who is convening a people of every tribe, tongue, and nation all around the world. Amen. Amen. We're going to miss you, but we look forward to having you back more regularly. Any other sharing or testimonies? Yes, Karen.
Yes, the ICU messages brought to mind something that I read this week. How people in service jobs, like at the grocery store or gas attendant or whatever, are made to feel almost like machines, because people come through looking at their cell phones or busy doing other things without even making eye contact. And what a small thing that is to a service that we can give to those people that we meet during the week, of just making an eye contact and saying thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Harold.
I have one silver 50-cent piece left, and I'd sure like to give that to someone. But in return, you're going to need to do something for me. You're going to need either draw me a picture, write me a poem, or give me a story. And we'll have about, when that one's gone, we'll have about 15 different stories, paintings, artwork by the youth of the church here. And I think what I'm going to do is, before we try to put together any kind of a book with this, for the children of Zion, I'm going to open it up for anyone to write me a story or a poem or draw me a picture. The only thing is I don't want, if you're an older person, I don't want a story about today. I want a story about yesterday, many yesterdays ago, so that we can put them in there. We'll leave it ride for a little bit, but I still have one 50-cent piece left for someone.
Thank you, Harold. And when the book comes out, I want the movie rights, okay? Ginny.
Dad wanted me to introduce his family. The whole Paul David Iser family is together, minus our mom. So I'm going to introduce you. I'm Ginny Berkey and Carl, my husband. We live in Newburgh. My sister Nan and Craig, her husband, live in Goshen, Indiana. Brent is the next one. My nephew and Rachel and Caroline and Olivia and Natalie, they live in Heston. And Brad, formerly from Portland, currently he's doing international travel. Nice to be here.
And it's good to have you here. Welcome to all of you. Is there others sharing too? Yes, Chris.
Well, it's Chris Cady, and I need two sets of prayers over this next week. Toby and I will be leaving Tuesday morning to drive down to New Mexico to rub Kendra's tummy, where a little girl is growing that will be our first grandchild coming in November, and taking things down. Nobody else in the family really wants my mom's accordion, and at 50 pounds, we just need to drive it down there. So we'll be making a three-day drive down, 2 days there, 3 days back. And secondly, while we are gone, our son and his girlfriend will be continuing the work on my mother's roof. Toby and I, me especially, move very cautiously on that tall old roof and have been safe thus far. I pray that my son will continue to be very cautious as he works tearing off the old roof and putting new plywood down. So prayers for Robert and Nikki in our absence, and prayers for our traveling mercies on the road.
And congratulations on becoming grandparents. Yes. Anyone else? I encourage you also to keep Vacation Bible School in your prayers as we get closer to that. I have met several people over the years that we've lived here who went through it, and they went to Drift Creek Camp, and they said it was such a meaningful experience for them. And actually, these are people I simply met in the community, not attending Zion Mennonite Church, but maybe another church somewhere. So we don't know what the fruits of our witness and service and ministry might be, but God does, and we will see. I ask you to join me then in prayer. Every time I come to the end of a prayer section with the words, "We ask, Lord, in your mercy," please join me in response with, "Hear our prayer." So you'll hear, "In your mercy," and respond with me, "Hear our prayer." And then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer together as it's printed in the bulletin. So please join me now in prayer. We ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, that your name might be hallowed within us and among us and through us, through the Spirit given faith, hope, and love, that your character, that our character and conduct might honor and reflect you, whether we are together or apart, in worship or in work, in rest or in play, we ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. That your kingdom might come in us as you accomplish your will in us, made of earth as we are, that we might all the more surrender to your will and put in action through the lives and loves you have given us, in our hearts and our homes, in our workplaces and neighborhoods, in the farms, the fields, and the gardens that we ask you to bless, or in our ministries and partnerships, like English language teaching, Mennonite disaster service, Vacation Bible School, Bridging Cultures, the Canby Center, Hope Village, Vida Feliz, Maranatha Ministries in Mexico, and our other partnerships. We ask that your kingdom would come all the more. This we ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And make of us, Lord, the world's foretaste and first fruits of the new Zion, the new heaven and earth, so that we might be and live the answer to your prayer on earth as it is in heaven. To you we look for the bread that we need each day, whether it's bread in the form of food, but also bread as forgiveness of sins and the grace to forgive others and be released from the enslaving power of resentment. Bread also we seek in the form of safety for Toby and Chris's travel and the blessing on their time with their daughter and son-in-law and that baby whom you're bringing into the world. And also in terms of safety for Robert and Nikki as they work on the roof. And the creativity of children and of members yet, gathering stories and memories together for this book. As we live, breathe, and grow on the bread of your mercy, we ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For you have fed and sustained our souls as with bread, and the blessings and joys that you grant such as the sweet growth of gardens and of fruit this season, O Lord, times of rest and travel and vacations, reunions with members often separated by distances. We thank you, O Lord, as we live, breathe, and grow on the bread of gratitude and praise, and that we might share such bread in the measure that you have given. We ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in the world, you said, we would have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because you have overcome the world. And for those among us and around us facing illness of body, of soul, of mind, for those facing estrangement from loved ones, those facing opposition, persecution, poverty, the fear of discovery or of deportation, lead us not further into any such temptation beyond what we can handle, but deliver us and all we know from evil. We ask, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And all this we bring before you in confidence, in the assurance of your love, and in the very words and spirit of him who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.